World Travel presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine. With your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with Jonah Paz, singer and recording guitarist with the band Pleasure Pill. In our conversation, Jonah tells us about the band's hometown, which is San Diego, and the band's current tour plans supporting the band Benches. Jonah discusses his decision to just be the recording guitarist for the band and just do vocals live. Jonah talks about his riding guitar, a small Martin guitar, and his Rickenbacker, and he also talks about the rigs of the other guitarists in the band, and he also talks a little bit about his dad's collection, which are the instruments that ended up being on the band's album, Hang a Star. Jonah describes the sound guy's reactions when the band wheels in Marshall Stax and how he deals with them as a vocalist. Finally, Jonah tells us about how the band scored a residency in New York City and how they built their fan base in San Diego. To find out more about Jonah and Pleasure Pill, you can go to their Bandcamp site, pleasurepill.bandcamp.com. And they're active on the socials. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. One personal note, I'll be playing at the California State Fair with my band, The Deadlies, this weekend, the 18th, 19th, and 20th of July. If you're in the area, stop by and say hi. Here's my friend, Jonah.
Hey, Jonah.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you in San Diego right now?
Yeah, I'm in San Diego. We've been home for about a month, and we're going to leave again end of this month so we get some good time home and taking care of business and stuff, you know.
And when you say you're going to leave, where are you guys going?
So this time we're going to, we're starting in Kansas City, and then we go to New York and the whole East Coast, and then we kind of make a loop back to Texas is where we kind of end for those dates. Yeah, so it'll be like a month.
And when you guys go play, are you opening? Are you supporting somebody, or are you guys
We're supporting this band Benches right now. Okay. That was the tour we were just on. We did like the West with them, and now we'll do the East Coast and stuff with them too, and they're from San Diego as well. And, you know, rock music, and it's cool to represent, you know.
Sure, of course.
Two bands from the same city, you know. It's pretty cool.
And did you guys know each other beforehand?
Yeah, one of our first shows ever was with them at like a coffee shop.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? So it's pretty neat for us to you know, continue the relationship and kind of be at this level now where it's, you know, we're packing out both bands, you know, 300, 400 cap rooms each night across the country. So
right on.
It's a pretty cool stepping stone, you know.
Exactly. That's pretty decent to be able to bring in 300 people.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, they're so good, and they've done a lot of good work the last couple of years, and they definitely deserve it, so yeah. It just feels good to kind of be along with them, you know.
Yeah, and so when you guys are playing, are you simply singing, or are you playing guitar as well?
I sing when we're live, and you know, I recorded most of the guitar on the record.
Okay.
So I think I could speak on guitar fairly enough, you know. But
yeah,
I've been singing. Just been singing in the band, you know, and doing the tambourines and stuff.
Yeah.
Maracas and all that, but...
And what decided for you to set down the guitar and do that?
You know, when the band first started, I was playing guitar. I have a fucking sweet Rickenbacker that I have, and...
The blonde one?
No, it's the Fireglow.
Okay.
One, it's a 330, but, I have that, and I wrote all the songs and on guitar and stuff like that. And then the decision to kind of go to just singing kind of came just because we kind of wanted to just be more like in your face with like the rock and roll thing, you know.
Yeah.
Ethan was on like keyboard, and it was kind of like getting too like new wavy almost, if you know what I mean. Like, and it was getting too like more The Cure and less like you know, T-Rex or something, you know what I mean. And like, we just wanted to like make it clear, and also Ethan was starting to play more guitar, and just kind of was like, I don't, you know, I wrote the songs. I don't really want to worry about playing them live, you know. I just want to have a good time. So, it's kind of, but that was pretty early on. That was like a year into the band, and we kind of made that call. But
yeah,
you know.
And how nitpicky are you with lines that you wrote that other people are playing?
I'm not too. I mean, I definitely know like what needs to be there, and I definitely know what can be messed with. And like, I will say, like, a good chunk of it gets kind of turned in some way, you know,
yeah,
which I enjoy, and I like that, you know. I don't want to be like, you know, I'm not a guy with all the answers by no means. So, if you know, on bass, if my bass line that I wrote is like interpreted differently, or if like the lead line is like kind of voiced differently, or whatever it may be, like I'm not really too precious on any of it. I just kind of, I just know what the song is, you sure. know, and I know like, you know, I spent enough time with it before I like deliver it to the band, and like we try to work it out and stuff. Yeah. There's been plenty of times too where I like have an idea and it's just like totally not gonna work.
Yeah.
And it gets, you know, because I write all the time, you know, so yeah. bad songs are inevitable. and so we just keep working at it, and there's a lot of trust within the band, and
yeah.
We also all know like what the band is supposed to be and what we need to do. So once the songs get kind of through to the band and we rehearse and stuff, it's a pretty quick turnaround, I'd say, until it starts sounding like us, you know?
Yeah. Are you, so you're the only songwriter or just the primary?
For this album? Yeah. Yeah. I did all of them really. I mean, yeah, every song started with me and my acoustic, and just, you know,
yeah.
you know, tracking voice memos and yep. stuff like that.
Of course. And what's the acoustic?
And yeah, the acoustic is just some, I got it when I was like a kid, mm-hmm. you know, it's like just this, I could probably get it for you. It's pretty hilarious looking. I'll grab it right now. This is what it is, you know, makes it, you know. So it's just it's a Martin, so yeah. it's kind of posh,
yeah,
but it's like, it's just a children's guitar beat to shit,
yeah,
just disgusting little thing. But you know, I would, you know, you put a lot of, when you play nice guitars, there's a lot of pressure I find for myself, you know. Like I'll stumble across a nice guitar every now and then, you know, in my possession that maybe a friend left with me or like something, and I'll start noodling with it. And you know, I feel like guitars always have something to give, you know. And like, if you play a guitar like at the right time in the right headspace, like you can probably think of something, you know. But this one is just so, it's just a fucking nice couch, you know what I mean? It's yeah. just like a fucking beater, you know, and I sure. love it, you know. Same with my Rickenbacker, it has that nice just me in it, you know, it's yep. just so good. But
are those the only two guitars you have?
Those are the only two in my real position. I have like a couple, I have like a jazz bass mm-hmm. That I got when I was like in high school. My dad is a big guitar guy though too. Okay. You know, my dad plays a lot of music still. He like, he plays, you know, he grew up kind of like in the punk rock kind of stuff. And
sure.
he's a real gearhead, you know what I mean? Like he's really resourceful and knowledgeable and stuff, yeah. but he has like Les Paul galore. And
yeah. And you don't steal his gear?
Oh, I see. With the record, I use his gold top.
Oh, right on.
I use his gold top for the record, just because, I mean, it just screams, you know. You can't really beat
yeah.
Marshall amp and a Les Paul, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really what it is, but.
Is that, so you yeah. used a Marshall?
Yeah, both guitars run 900s, so JCM 900s are yep. the amps, and just standard Marshall cab. We used the AC30 for a couple, like, I mean, there's a lot of guitars on the record.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like layers and layers of it. So an AC30 was in there. But I would say like 70%, 80% of all guitars on the record are the 900.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And when you guys play live, what are you using for, what are the guitarists using for amps?
They're using the 900s, yeah.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And depending on the scenario, the situation, we'll either like do the full stack or half stack. But the tour, Ethan had a full stack and the other had a half stack, but we might just bring the two out, you know, for this run just because it's powerful, you know, and you know, we're really, you know, we love, you know, the traditions of rock and roll. And,
of course.
You know, that's as much a part of it as anything else.
Absolutely.
You know, the loud stage sound. So, you know, that's what we try to deliver and do that, you know.
Are the other band carrying the sound, you know, your sound guy or
no, we have our friend Eric who produced the record, but he does great live sound as well.
Uh-huh.
And whenever we can afford it and we can like do it, we'll ask him to do it because he nails it every time, you know. And,
yeah.
Since I'm the singer, you know, during sound check and like on tours and stuff, it's pretty simple for me to just like, you know, they'll play and I'll hop down like off the stage and stuff and take a listen, and I know what it should sound like.
Sure.
Right, yeah. You know, so I'll just like it's just sound check for us is just like a game of that mixed with like me giving notes to the sound guy and then just kind of being flexible and working with us, you know. So
when you guys,
but it's pretty simple. Yeah,
when you guys wheel in Marshalls, what does a sound guy like have a fucking coronary?
If they're under 30, they have a heart attack.
Yeah.
And if they're over 30, they're fucking like super soaked.
Okay.
So it's really like, I mean, because in our book, like in the way sound guys kind of like run with us, it's like you have kind of like the two separate characters of like the kid who like went to school and like loves, or is like the sound guy and he's like, yeah, and I got my job, you know, but he doesn't want any stage sound.
Exactly.
He doesn't want nothing at all. And he just gets so bummed when we come in. And then there's the other guy who like is the seasoned rock and roller type who like sees the Marshall and he's like, I'm excited. This is going to be fun, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, what I tell them if they have a problem with it is that, you know, you better just find another job because, like, this is what you're made to do. You know, you got to make it sound good. You know, we're the band. We did our part, you know? We're here. So let's get going.
Yep.
But we don't really ever get too much trouble. There's never been, like, a explosive moment or something.
And how hard is it for you to hear on stage to do your vocals?
Not too tough. They're always pretty able to push me in my wedge and stuff, but you know, we rehearse like pretty barbarically and I can hardly hear my vocal when we're rehearsing. So it's kind of just like every like venue scenario is miles away better than what we practice in. So,
okay. All right.
But yeah.
And where do you guys practice?
We practice here in San Diego at our drummer's place, pretty much. Yeah, he has like a nice little spare room that we just all kind of gather in and keep all the shit.
The neighbors don't complain?
No, not at all. You know, and it's actually kind of pretty rad. You know, I mean we you know where we're at. We're in Chula Vista. It's pretty suburban and.
Yeah, that's usually the worst neighbors.
And we've never. I mean, maybe you could probably ask Dom, and you know, you'd probably know a little bit better. But I mean, whenever I'm like leaving practice or something, there's always like little kids playing. And
oh, cool!
That's the band, you know, that we're always hearing. So, but we don't really run it too late or anything like that. I think if we did, then it would be kind of a mess, but. Yeah.
And so what's your brother playing for guitars?
My brother's playing, both of them right now are playing the casino, an Epiphone casino.
Okay.
And stuff. Yeah, just kind of a Beatles homage kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you worked out a deal with Gibson yet, or no, not yet?
Not yet. No. They're running out of time, you know, until something else comes.
Exactly. You're just down the street from Rickenbacker.
Yeah. Rickenbacker. If any of them come, we're taking it. But you know, we're playing a show sponsored by Marshall, so that's a good step for us. You know what I mean? That's
right on.
Me happy to see.
Yeah, of course.
But. Yeah, I would love endorse free Les Pauls and shit like that, you know what I mean? But who knows?
And so, are you guys booking yourselves? Like, you got the tour, so they're booking that. But how do you guys go about getting shows?
We have a booking agent at this point. His name's Tom Linden, and we met him last year when we were in New York doing a residency out there, and just loves the band and just kind of, you know, a dude who's like a believer and like into helping develop us really. And kind of wants to, we've been with other agents before that were kind of more, I guess, the word would be acclaimed, I guess, and respected in the industry or whatever. But, you know, when these agents that have like really big clients and stuff, they don't really have the time or really the wherewithal to like work with a band at our size, because it's just like they're it's a separate world.
Of course.
I mean, it's not really, but for Tom, our guy right now, he's just such a dog, you know. He really gets down and finds us good stuff and really pushes us and does the right thing. It's really, really fun having him and stuff.
Yeah, is he taking care of hotel details too, or is that you guys?
No, that's all us. Yeah, we have so the hotel we get from so Ethan works at a Starbucks in a hotel.
Okay.
So we get like a discount.
Yeah.
On the hotel, so you know you gotta work with the cards that you're getting.
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What I mean? And if if you're working, it better work for you. You know what I mean?
So exactly. And if it's
how we do that. Yeah.
And if it's a hotel chain with a Starbucks inside of it, then it means it's
money.
A reputable chain. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we'll do that. It runs us pretty cheap. And if it's not cheap, I mean, we've stayed anywhere and everywhere kind of thing as it is.
Yep.
We'll do what it takes, but That's the mode right now.
Yep. And are you guys in a van or a Sprinter?
Yeah, we have a. Gosh, I think it's a Chevy Express.
Okay.
Or something, just a prototypical like 10-seater.
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay.
I mean, this is we're like fully the. You know, we're doing every little thing that you must think we're doing. You know what I mean? So it's good. I love it. Yeah.
And is there a trailer behind it, or is it gear inside?
This tour, no trailer, because we're back. Is letting us use their drum kit and bass amp, which is nice. Which is why we. Oh, great! You know, we don't have to bring drums and bass amp. That means we get to bring the full stack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really. We just make more work for ourselves inevitably, but if at this point if we have to lug everything, then we've gotten a trailer I think like once or twice or something,
How'd you guys get to New York City, and how'd you get a residency?
So we got to New York City by plane. We didn't drive there.
No, I get that. No, but I mean,
yeah.
How did you guys get booked in New York City in the first place?
So we played the venue. We got the residency in May of last year. It was during tour, and we were supporting this band, Late Night Drive Home, who's like signed to Epitaph and stuff. And it was a really fun tour, really cool dudes. And but this was just one of like the four headlines that we had for the East Coast and stuff.
Yeah.
And we played New York City at that venue, and the next day they called us and asked if we would do it, the residency in September. And we were just like, yeah, I got nothing better to do. You know what I mean? And yeah. we love New York, and
of course,
it was really fun.
Yeah.
It was pretty simple. You know, I wish there was like crazy. I mean, New York, the residency was pretty crazy, and you know, we spent the month out there. But mm-hmm. as far as getting it, it was pretty straightforward. You know.
Yeah. And yeah, how many nights a week were you guys playing?
We were just playing one night a week, and so we were just like out there for the month with five shows. And we played a sixth one with like this friend that we met and we played down the street from the venue. Okay. And then the rest of the nights were just kind of filled with like going to shows and meeting people. And, you know, we would print out like 100 flyers like every couple days and stuff, and then just pass them out and talk to people. And then more people would come, and then, you know.
Right on.
Next thing you know, you're a hot ticket, you know. So
exactly,
it's pretty. That was our month, you know.
Yeah.
And it was in between all that. It was just really insane and fun. And
yeah, of course.
Everything you could think, you know.
Yeah. But, did you have enough money to like go shopping and stuff, or no?
Oh no, I didn't really go shopping. What did I? Did I buy? I didn't really buy like anything. I think Luke bought like a Johnny Thunders T-shirt, and like I think I bought like a John Lennon thing or something, just real bare bones. Like, you know, we had like enough money, and that was kind of it.
I get it.
You know, yeah, it was just crazy. It was really fun. You know,
when you guys play in town, like in San Diego, what venues are you playing there?
So our release show was at the Whistle Stop, which was a bar, just a bar that we like all kind of go to as it is, you know, and have fun. But I'd say the venue we've played the most at is definitely the Casbah. We play the Casbah a lot, and that's like really, you know, they kind of got on our radar pretty early on. I'd say like a couple months in, and they were, Tim Piles and Tim Mays were really excited about it, and just were like, yeah, like, you know, if, you know, we'll put you guys on like on a Tuesday or something, and you know, probably no one's gonna come, but you know, work it out and figure it out, and you know, let's get moving, you know. And really proud of our presence there, and just being able to like grow in there, you know, with even really watching to now, you know, getting put on really good supporting bills there, but also like pulling a lot on room, and you know, for shows, and getting Fridays now, and
right on.
You know, it's great. You know, it's fun. You know, so
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you. I appreciate your time, Jonah.
Yeah, James, it's been great. Yeah, thank you.
So,
I'm glad. Yeah, cool.
Anything for the future? Like, next year, are you guys, next summer, are you guys going to be doing festivals?
Yeah, we better. You know what I mean? I wouldn't get it if we weren't, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll have we started recording album 2.
Uh-huh.
So that's happening. That should be in the summer, I imagine. Yep. And then we leave for tour this month. We got more shows for sure, more music too. We got like B-sides from the record that are gonna come out.
Right on.
Yeah. So it'll be moving from this point onwards for sure. So just keep an eye out.
Right on. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.
Take it easy. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.